Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back. This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers. A brand new week, beautiful day. The Hawkeyes are 3-0.
Stop. That's it. We're done.
Iowa State, not so much.
No more. No more football talk, all right?
That's kind of how the season's gone so far. I'm sorry, Brian.
Yeah, well, whatever. Did I understand that number one son has gotten a job?
My only son, yes.
Well, that's why he's number one.
Yeah, I said, you're the first in my heart, Morgan, for sons. You're the best, my best son. Yeah, he actually literally pushes people around for a living.
What does that mean?
He's a transporter.
Does he
Mercy
break knuckles too?
he's a transporter at Mercy Hospital. So he literally pushes people in beds and stuff.
Well, good for Mo.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Very
so
cool.
He's been starting. He started that up this week, and as he's going through EMT training, so he's getting experience being what the full time working world's like. So,
oh, good for him.
And not wearing skinny jeans. And I told him, it's like, I'm thrilled to see you in things other than skinny jeans. So he's not so happy about it, but I like it. I'd love to ban skinny jeans, frankly, but that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Ron and I were kids, they had those stupid bell bottoms that were about 4 feet long.
Oh,
and
the elephant bottom bells. Yeah.
Yeah, I had parachute pants back in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
Things that just should not ever go beyond when they trended.
Hey, you know, I'm excited about something. We'll talk about it more later, but I'm getting excited about the second annual Caffeinated Thoughts briefing.
Me too. Got Governor Jindal going to be there. We have Rafael Cruz going to be there. About ready to say Ted Cruz, but no, yeah. Ted's not going to be there. Yeah. But his dad will be, and that's going to be great. Sam Clovis will be there. Mike Ferris with Homeschool Legal Defense Association will be there.
Dr. Lee Heeb will be there.
Dr. Lee Heeb going to talk about
Obamacare
reform. Yeah. Yep, so looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
October 31st.
Yeah, so mark your calendars. Go to ctbriefing2015.com. ctbriefing2015.com and get signed up.
All right, so what do we got on the newsmaker line here, the
VIP line? Yes, we have a very special guest, Dr. E. Calvin Beisner. He actually spoke at last year's briefing, and we've had him on the show before. He's the founder and national spokesperson for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. And welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Dr. Beisner.
Well, thank you very much. Great to be back with you. Obviously, I didn't do too well last year at the briefing.
We thought you were terrific.
We didn't think you were great.
I'm not coming back, am I?
Hey, that doesn't mean that you won't be back at a future one. Remember that.
Okay.
We're changing things up. I'm not even sure I'm going to speak at it. Actually, it might be better if I don't. So,
it is good to be back on the program with you. Really appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, hey, so you guys are launching a educational campaign called The Road to Paris, A Dead End for the Poor. So let me ask you, just pretend like I don't know anything, because it's probably not too hard for you to pretend.
You don't really want me to respond to that.
Right,
you
don't really have to pretend. The Road to Paris, what is in Paris? What's going on?
Well, in late November and early December in Paris, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change is going to be holding their 21st Conference of the Parties, COP21. And there they hope, at last, to adopt a global agreement requiring countries all over the world to reduce their carbon dioxide emissions in order to fight global warming, which, by the way, hasn't happened in the last 18 years and 8 months, according to the satellite data.
But President Obama says that that's our greatest threat.
Oh, yeah, right. Greater threat than ISIS, greater threat than China, greater the threat than Russia, greatest threat hasn't been happening for the last 18 years and 8 months, and As a result, some folks are kind of getting a little panicky about it. What they're realizing is if they don't get a global agreement through on this now, and this absence of warming continues for too long, their whole agenda will just fall flat on its face. But the reason we say that this road to Paris is a dead end for the poor, we mean dead there very literally.
Mm.
The kind of policies that they want to do to fight global warming will bring indeed death to, in fact, already have brought death to many, many people, not just in the poorest countries of the world, like sub-Saharan Africa, but even in wealthy countries, comparatively, like the United Kingdom.
Right.
You know, in Great Britain, for the last about 12 years or so, they have pursued a very aggressive policy to replace coal-fired and even natural gas-fired generating plants, electric generating plants, with wind and biofuels. Well, you know, it costs a whole lot more to make electricity from wind and biofuels than mm-hmm. it does from coal and natural gas. So the consequence has been skyrocketing electricity rates. That term, by the way, might jog some memories. Candidate Senator Obama said back in 2007 when he was running for the presidency that if he were elected, because he wanted to force coal-fired power plants to shut down all over the country in order to fight global warming, he said, if I'm elected, electricity rates will necessarily skyrocket. Well, he had good reason to say that. They were already doing that in Great Britain. The result has been something called energy poverty or fuel poverty, a situation where people can't afford both to heat their homes and to get the food they need. So they get the food, but in the intense winters, they freeze to death.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, every winter, more people die than in the summer because cold weakens people whose immune systems are already down, especially the elderly. But the rate of excess premature winter deaths has more than doubled in Great Britain over about the last 6 years because of this. So these policies kill people, and so our aim is to help to prevent the adoption of any such policy through this new educational campaign.
Yeah, I had a chance to kind of somewhat inject this into the 2016 race here in Iowa. I was at a press avail with Governor Huckabee, and this one, I'm assuming a more progressive news site, was asking about climate change. And I said, well, Governor Huckabee, doesn't the current climate change policy have a negative impact on the poor? And he said, oh, yeah, it does. And he went on to list a couple things. So it's
even federal EPA administrator Gina McCarthy admitted about 3 weeks ago on tape that, yes, indeed, we know that this policy, she was talking about the what the Obama administration calls the Clean Power Plan, I've adopted from an organization called the 60 Plus Association, a different name for it. It's the Cruel Power Plan. McCarthy admitted that this is going to hit low-income people in America the hardest.
Oh, but
of course, if you're already in favor of getting more people on welfare and dependent on the government, that's just a good idea.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, don't worry, they got their safety net, right?
That's right.
Sure.
The government will wrap its loving arms around them and make sure they're safe and warm.
Yeah.
That sounds like a wonderful idea, not, you know,
and get their votes in return.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
So, what are some things that they should be doing instead?
Well, what we should be doing, really, is promoting the access to abundant, affordable, reliable energy, without which no society has ever risen out of poverty, and without which no society can ever stay out of poverty. And frankly, for now and probably at least the next 6 to 8 decades or so, even according to the Energy Information Agency and other large official bodies who study this, the best source of abundant, affordable, reliable energy is going to continue to be coal, oil, and natural gas. For electricity, coal and natural gas. For transport, oil. And, right now, fossil fuels provide about 86 to 87% of all the energy used in the world. And that's going to continue to be the case. It needs to continue to be the case, or we're going to see economic development slow, stop, and even reverse in poor countries around the world. And the result will be not the 7,000 to 8,000 extra deaths each winter that Great Britain experiences, but instead hundreds of millions of otherwise preventable deaths because people continue to be dirt poor, abjectly poor, with high rates of disease and premature death that invariably accompany that kind of poverty.
Cal, you mentioned earlier the 18-year pause in in warming. And you're no doubt aware, of course, that NBC, for example, has been trumpeting for several months now how 2014, I believe, was the warmest year on record. And I think they're also suggesting
that 2050 will be the next, you know, we'll replace that as warmest.
Yes. And what I run into, Cal, and I'm sure you have as well, when I have a debate with somebody about global warming, the first thing they do is they pull out these temperature charts from NOAA or NASA and says and say, basically, that's it. The argument's over.
And they're
using surface temperature readings and they're adjusting them and so on and so forth. So my question to you is, what are you going to be doing in particular to make the case that there is, in fact, a pause in global warming?
Well, I don't think we need to make the case. The case is clearly made already by the data from the satellite system. That is our most reliable, most credible source of global average temperature data, because the satellites measure temperature at all altitudes, all latitudes, all longitudes, 24/7, 365, and their measurements are not corrupted, not polluted by localized heat sources such as urban heat island effects. You don't have to do the kind of very speculative adjustments to the data that NASA and NOAA have been doing to the surface temperature data. So that makes the case very, very clearly. We have a series of YouTube videos that are coming out right now on our YouTube channel. So anybody can go to YouTube and just search for Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. They'll find our channel. We've got, at this point, seven videos up, and they're going up at a rate of 3 a week from now to the beginning of December.
That sounds interesting.
Top experts in this field about not just global average temperature and global warming, but also energy policy, how all of this impacts the poor, how it's going to impact people here in the United States. So it's a great series. Real quickie videos, just 2 or 3 minutes apiece. Great way for people to get educated on this.
Great. So you mentioned earlier that, you know, 86%, I think, was the figure used, is fossil fuel production here in Iowa.
Yeah, we're probably 85, 86, 87, something in that area.
Yeah, here in Iowa, we probably are not the norm. I think I want to say almost 50%, maybe 60% of our energy supply comes from wind power. Of course, I think so. Every 4 years, though, we have, you know, a lot of hot air blowing through here, right, prior to the Iowa caucus, and that probably helps some. But why not try to push wind energy? Why not solar energy?
You know, there are circumstances in which wind energy can be financially competitive with fossil fuel energy. But those circumstances are geographically few and far between. Iowa, in the middle of the Great Plains, happens to be one of those circumstances where it comes close. It still doesn't really meet. Iowans would be paying lower electricity rates if it were not for the fact that they're getting so much of their electricity from wind. Solar can't really compete anywhere except in very small applications where you need just a little bit of power, and it doesn't have to be absolutely reliable.
Well, present, the wind industry, wind energy industry, is heavily subsidized as well, correct?
Absolutely.
I mean, otherwise, there'd be no way in the world we could afford all this infrastructure that we're putting all over the place in these cornfields in Iowa.
Right. And by the way, folks in the wind industry will say, oh, but the oil industry or the coal industry gets far more subsidy. Well, there are a couple of very important qualifications there. What they're calling subsidies to the oil and natural gas and coal industries are actually not subsidies. They're just simply the fact that they're allowed to count off the cost of their doing business against their taxable income, like you and me, just like any other corporation. That's not subsidy. But for the wind and solar energies, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars being funneled directly from your taxes through the federal government into these industries. And even with those, they still can't generate electricity at a price that competes well with coal and natural gas.
All right. So you also have a petition up that you're encouraging people to sign. Where can people find that?
We do indeed. Yeah, they'll find that at cornwallalliance.org/energyempowers the poor. cornwallalliance.org/energyempowers the poor. The petition is called Forget Climate Change, Energy Empowers the Poor. And it states in just very simple terms, what the poor need to rise out of poverty is abundant, affordable, reliable energy. But the policies being promoted to fight global warming would deprive them of that. That means that they would condemn them to more generations of poverty and premature death and disease that invariably come with it. And so what we need to do is not to endorse any kind of policy on any level, whether global or national or local, to try to reduce carbon dioxide emissions by reducing our use of fossil fuels. Instead, we need to encourage the use of fossil fuels by taking the barriers out of the way.
Hmm. Okay. So how many people have signed on to that so far? You know?
Well, we just launched it, and in just a few days, it's a little over 800 at this point. We're praying that it will go viral shortly through opportunities like this for people to hear about it on the air.
Yep, I think both Brian and I have signed. Anyway, we are out of time. Thank you so much, Dr. Beiser, for coming on. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we'll be back in a moment. Thanks, Cal.
Thank you. God bless.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So we have on the line very special guest. He's been on our show once before, and I've talked with him a couple different times on video at caffeinatedthoughts.com. But on the line, we have Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. Governor Jindal, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Good morning. It's great to be back with y'all. Thank you for having me back.
Hey, you're very welcome. Now, you, during the debate, during the, I hate calling it the second tier debate, I guess we'll call it the happy hour debate for CNN, you said something very interesting that I honestly can't say I've ever heard another candidate ever say this about their party. But you basically said, if we can't get some of these things done, like stopping the Iran deal, the funding Planned Parenthood, I can't remember if there was anything else you brought up in the context of that, but you said we might as well not even exist as a party. We might as well not have the Republican Party. And I thought, wow.
Boom.
So you're obviously pretty upset about some stuff. What's going on?
I absolutely am. Look, it's so frustrating. Right now in D.C., you've got a choice between lying conservatives and honest socialists. The reality is, give the left credit. Bernie Sanders, at least he's honest about what he wants to do. He wants to have the government spend and borrow even more money. On the right, we've got Republicans that say one thing when they're running for election, they do another when they actually get elected. If we can't defund Planned Parenthood, if we can't stop this bad Iran deal, what good is this party? I mean, they told us, given the majority, they would stop Obamacare, they would stop amnesty. They got nothing done. The reality is that all those things are still in place. I'm a lifelong conservative. I'm a lifelong Republican. But I'm so frustrated with our leadership in D.C. I really got to the point where it sometimes you just wonder, what was the point of getting these majorities? We've taken these majorities and it doesn't seem like anything has changed. The reason I'm so angry is the idea of America is slipping away. We've got a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get America back. And if we don't seize it, we will lose the idea of America. $18 trillion in debt. Planned Parenthood selling baby parts across the country. A president won't say radical Islam. He won't even say those words. He refuses to stand with Israel. He's declared war on trans fats and a truce with Iran. The idea of America is slipping away. Now more than ever, we need our leaders to fight for our conservative beliefs. I wish they had half the backbone of Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid.
But Governor Jindal, they did a vote on late-term abortion, right? And just they just don't have the votes. That's what they're saying to us.
You know, it's amazing. I mean, even before they took the vote on Planned Parenthood, McConnell came out and said, well, we're really not going to get this done. He basically just said, hey, we're going to play act. We're going to go through the motions. Well, we don't have the votes to do this. This is a Congress that, by the way, they found a way, even when faced with a bad Iran deal, they found a way to take it instead of a two-thirds vote to approve the deal. They made it a two-thirds vote to reject the deal. They all seem to find a way to get the president's priorities done. You know, when the Democrats lost their 60th vote in the Senate, we didn't hear them say, well, we just can't get Obamacare done. They found a way to get it done. Harry Reid, he found a way to get this president's judges confirmed, even when they didn't have 60 votes. What I'm saying is I want our guys to fight and win. I'd be satisfied if they would just fight. They seem to give up before the fight even starts. They gave up, you know, on the Iran deal. Let's take the Iran deal for a second. The Corker bill is a huge mistake. But now that they voted
just for our listeners who may not know what the Corker bill is, could you kind of just summarize that?
Oh, certainly. So that was the bill that basically normally takes a two-thirds vote to approve a treaty. They passed this Corker bill to announce a two-thirds vote to reject the Iran bill. They flipped it on its head. Every Senate Republican except for Tom Cotton voted for it. Thanks to Senator Cotton, he stood up against it. Every other senator voted for it, including the ones running for president, like Cruz and Rubio and Paul and Graham. They all vote for this bad deal. So now it takes a two-thirds vote to stop the Iran deal. Well, two problems. Number one, today I would argue that Congress should say to the president, you're not in compliance with the Corker bill because you haven't shared the entire deal with us. We haven't seen all the confidential agreements. You haven't presented the deal to us. And then secondly, why wouldn't they use the nuclear option? The Senate's got these rules that they say, well, we need 60 votes to even have a debate.
Right.
What they call it a nuclear option, and Harry Reid famously threatened the nuclear option. He actually used it to get some of the judges confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
The nuclear option means we're not going to wait for 60 votes. We'll just go with 51 votes, a majority. Why in the world wouldn't, and I asked Lindsey Graham this on the debate stage, why wouldn't Senate Republicans use the nuclear option to stop Iran from becoming a nuclear power? They've got more than 50 votes. Nothing in the Constitution says they need 60 votes. And that's my point. They find reasons not to fight. They find reasons to say, oh, we don't have the votes. We don't want to change Senate rules. You know, that's tradition. We're talking about the Iranian regime becoming a nuclear power. What's more important, stopping these Ayatollahs who want to wipe out Israel, who chant death to America, or observing some kind of Senate tradition? I mean, it just, again, we've got Republicans that aren't willing to fight. I wish they had half the fight in them. I don't like how Pelosi and Reid and Obama crammed Obamacare down our throats, but I wish our side had half the fight the other side had.
I thought you had a interesting, shall we say, exchange with Senator Graham in the debate last week on that particular point. He was saying, well, you know, we don't have the votes, or if we pass it, you know, the president's going to veto it. And you kept saying, make him veto it.
Yep. Right.
So send him the legislation.
Make him
veto it.
We kind of have that issue in Iowa a little bit, except it's because we have a Democrat-led Senate rather than a Republican-led Senate. So it isn't so much that the governor will veto bills, but it's like, oh, we'll never pass in the Senate, so we're not even going to try. We'll make them.
Yeah,
send stuff.
And you mentioned, Governor Jindal, you mentioned the nuclear option. As I understand it, Harry Reid very quietly used it twice. I mean, after all those years of beating up on the Republicans for even thinking of such a thing back when they had the Senate, then Harry Reid very quietly used it twice. It got almost no coverage in the press, you know, whereas when we considered it back in the day, I mean, it was like the sky was going to fall. I mean, you're exactly right. These guys got to get some guts. They got to fight. They got to work hard to make some things happen. Show us a little gumption.
That's exactly it. Look, the world didn't end when Harry Reid did it. The world's not going to end if we fight for our beliefs. And here's the thing that's so appalling to me. When they asked us to give them the majority, we did our part. We showed up and volunteered. We made donations. We voted. We went door to door. We did our part. We gave them the majority. I don't remember them when they were campaigning for the majority saying, give us the majority and nothing will happen. They said, they made very specific promises, give them the majority and they would stop Obamacare, stop amnesty. Instead, they've become the surrender caucus. And it's embarrassing. You know, the House has got a chance. You may have seen the breaking news, the Speaker is stepping down,
right.
Speaker Boehner is stepping down of the House. The House has got a chance now when they select their new leadership to commit, all right, we're going to elect somebody who's going to fight to defund Planned Parenthood.
See, I think they should stick Steve King in as Speaker, but I know he would never do it.
The Surrender Caucus, we got to remember that one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's literally...
And the election wasn't about getting Mitch McConnell a nicer office. It really was about our principles. And the reason... There are two things that are happening today in America that contribute to why I'm so frustrated. One, the idea of America slipping away, as I mentioned before. But secondly, I also get a sense the country is ready to turn back to our conservative principles and save the idea of America. I think the left is gift-wrapping this opportunity for us. They're running this awful campaign. Hillary Clinton's the worst candidate I've seen running the worst campaign I've ever seen. They are gift-wrapping this moment in time, this election to us. We better not waste this moment. You know, I think our country's worth fighting for. I think our country's worth saving. We mm-hmm. better not waste this moment to get our country back on the right path.
Well, we were talking about this off the air. This has been a absolutely shocking, in some respects, development over the last 10 months or so, where we win both houses of Congress. We don't do anything. And then we have what I consider to be the best Republican field of potential presidential candidates in my lifetime, and instead things have not turned out as I would have let's just put it delicately there and just say that things have not so far turned out as I would have thought they would.
Yeah.
Well, so, and my, you know, look, I don't blame Bernie Sanders. He's honest. He tells us he's a socialist. I don't blame him for fighting for his beliefs, but I do blame the establishment and the Republican Party. You've heard Jeb Bush say we've got to be willing to lose the primary in order to win the general election.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with that. That is the leadership in the Republican Party saying hide your conservative beliefs and ideas so that the left and the media will like you. Folks, that never works. If we try that, we will lose again. We will deserve to lose again. I'm actually angrier at the Republican leadership because they say they believe in conservative principles.
Okay.
You can't fault. Look, Bernie Sanders, he's consistent. He wants government running your life. He wants more government debt, more spending, more taxing, more regulations.
Right.
He wants to spend trillions of dollars we don't have. I think it'd be an awful mistake for our country. But at least he's fighting for his beliefs. Why won't our side fight just as hard? The other side's willing to fight for socialism. Why won't we fight for freedom?
We got about 5 minutes left, so I just want to let's put a little rubber to the road here. If Iowans, you know, go out and caucus for you, and you win the Iowa caucus, and you end up winning the GOP nomination, how will President Jindal address all this?
Well, that's, you know, the good news is we've got a bunch of followers, not leaders in D.C. We need a clean shop. And I think one of the most important things we can talk about all kinds of issues. We need to repeal Obamacare, stop Iran from becoming a nuclear power. We need to shrink the size of our government economy, grow the American economy, and I'm the only one that's cut government spending. We need to defund Planned Parenthood. But one of the most important things we need to do in terms of cleaning shop, we need term limits in D.C. We need part-time legislators who live under the same rules and laws they pass for the rest of us. You know, let's put an end to them exempting themselves. Let's put an end to this idea that they're a separate permanent ruling class. I think that's a big part of the problem we've got today. You've got these elected officials who go to earn six-figure salaries.
Right.
They want to become seven-figure lobbyists. That's not what the Founding Fathers intended.
How do we get that done with a Congress that probably they don't want to do that themselves? How are we going to get that passed?
Yeah, it's always hard to get somebody to give up power voluntarily. The way we did it in Louisiana, they did this even before I got elected governor. Look, the one thing these politicians are interested in is self-survival. And so they know if the people force them to do it, the way they hide from this, it's so popular. Over 80% of the American people want term limits. The way the Congress hides from it is they never bring it up for a vote, or they attach it to something very complicated and say, well, you know, they always do this. They make 1,000-page bills. As president, I would force them to vote this very simple up or down vote, and then flood their switchboards, flood their emails, flood their town halls, flood their social media accounts with voters saying, yes or no, are you for term limits? And if you're not, we're not voting for you again. They are interested in self-survival. And Reagan proved this strategy worked. He worked with a Democratic Congress. He went around them to the people, got tax cuts done, funded the military, defeated the Soviet Union, won the Cold War without firing a shot. We can do that again. You know, they work for us, not the other way around. We need to remind them of that.
Yeah, now we got another debate coming up. CNBC's doing this. I can't remember what's Colorado, I think. Anyway, doesn't matter where it's being held. Have you heard anything about the rule? Sent out any of the rules as far as who's going to be eligible to be part of that debate? And I also heard they're not doing a second tier debate.
We haven't heard anything. You know, we hear a lot of rumors like y'all do. No, I don't understand the RNC. Like to your point, we've got the best field we've seen in a very long time, a large field. You would think we would want to encourage debates. We would want, I suspect the RNC wants to narrow the field down. I think they want this to be a Jeb Bush versus Donald Trump fight ultimately. I think that's a mistake. I think that party bosses,
we do too.
I'm sorry?
We think that's a mistake too.
Well, I think that, you know, they don't get to pick our nominee. We need a voters get to pick our nominee. And let me just say this about Trump. I like the idea of Trump. I like an outsider, somebody who's politically incorrect that says the establishment's full of nonsense. He's a narcissist. We need to vote for a real conservative. Now we've got a moment to apply our conservative principles. We can't rely on somebody who only believes in himself.
Right.
You know, I said this at Faith and Freedom. You know, he says his favorite book is the Bible. Can't name a verse in there that has had an impact on his life. I joke, I don't think he's read the Bible.
Mm.
And you know he hasn't read the Bible because his name's not in there. He only reads books that are about himself.
Well, his mom inscribed one time, probably.
Oh, dear.
And he may have.
Oh, dear.
No. And when you did that speech at the press club, it's like, Governor Jindal just, like, read my mind.
Well, and look, I think it's time for somebody to say what everybody's been thinking. You know, he's entertainment, but he's a narcissist. He's an egomaniac. He's not a Democrat or Republican or an independent. He believes in Donald Trump. He borrowed Reagan's slogan about making America great again, which is a wonderful slogan, but he just wants to make Donald Trump great. And so I think it's been great entertainment. It's time to put him on the elevator, send him downstairs, tell him he's fired. He's been a lot of fun, but we need to apply our conservative
principles
now.
Speaking of elevator, we got 30 seconds left. Elevator speech, why should Iowans vote for you?
Look, I got the backbone, the bandwidth, the experience to get this job done. There are a lot of great talkers. I'm a doer. I'm the only one that's running that's actually reduced the size of government. We cut our state budget 26%. Pro-life state, the number one pro-life state 6 years in a row under my leadership. A lot of guys talk the talk. We've got a great talker in the White House today. We need somebody who's going to fight to save America. I will do that. I'm a proven conservative. Folks can go to BobbyJindal.com to learn more. We're going to every county in Iowa. I invite folks to come out to our town hall meetings.
All right. Thank you, Governor Jindal. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, which is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141. Again, that's 515-292-7141, or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. This is Shane Vannert, back with Brian Myers, and we're just entering segment three, our news rundown. Brian, we had the Pope in town.
We did.
Well, not in town, Des Moines, but
right.
The, well,
in D.C.
Right, right. Well, there's a guy by the name of Andy Webb, who I believe is a minister in Fayetteville, North Carolina, if my memory is correct. And Andy posted on Facebook a juxtaposition of the things that the Pope talked about in his address before Congress and then the things that he didn't talk about.
Which is unique in that he's the first Pope to ever address a joint session of Congress. I believe the only religious leader to do so. And I don't know if some of our Catholic friends realize how significant that is, because no other, for instance, evangelicals don't have somebody that unifies several denominations that has that kind of clout. So anyway, some of us are wondering, oh, are you going to have Franklin Graham do this next kind of thing? So
probably not going to happen.
I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
But here's some observations by Andy Webb about some of the things that the Pope did talk about: the social gospel, income redistribution, global warming, protecting the environment, abolishing the death penalty, civil rights and social justice, redistribution of wealth.
Yeah, mistreatment of Native Americans, which I thought was interesting.
Sustainability. The danger of fundamentalism. Liberty, fraternity, solidarity, and freedom. Martin Luther King, who got four mentions. Abraham Lincoln, who got four mentions. Interestingly enough, Dorothy Day got mentioned four times. And Thomas Merton got mentioned five times.
He did mention Moses three times.
Yeah, okay.
We'll have to give him that. And he also did talk about religious liberty. And he did talk about religious liberty when he was meeting with President Obama too, which I do appreciate.
But here are the things that Andy pointed out that the Pope didn't speak about with respect to this speech before Congress. Jesus got zero mentions. He didn't talk about the Bible.
Interesting.
He didn't talk about the gospel or how to be saved. He didn't talk about heaven. He didn't talk about hell. He didn't talk about abortion. He did not talk about euthanasia. He didn't talk about the persecution and slaughter of Christians. He didn't mention ISIS. He didn't mention Islam. He didn't mention homosexual marriage. He didn't mention gender confusion, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I thought this was we didn't read everything that Andy had down on his list, but I thought this was kind of an interesting
right. Right. Some of this I figured he probably wouldn't. I am shocked that he didn't talk about abortion. He had a chance to really hit on that subject hard, and he had a bully pulpit to be able to do it, and he didn't do it. And that's a disappointment.
Well, and you certainly see what his priorities are there.
Right.
And forgive me, when I look at this list, he just sounds like a garden variety Marxist. In fact, we were talking off the air. You read these items on Andy's list that he spoke about. He sounded like a Bernie Sanders speech.
Well, he's been exposed, I've heard, to liberation theology, which is something that actually was born out of the Catholic Church and is, you know, obviously made most famous with Reverend Wright, that was President Obama's pastor at I believe Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago. So I didn't stay in the Catholic Church, but it certainly was born out of the Catholic Church in South America mostly. So you have those elements within the Catholic Church, and that's unfortunate.
Okay, next item. We have Mr. Trump and Mr. Sanders are on top of a poll in New Hampshire.
Well, Trump's been leading New Hampshire for a while, so that's not surprising. And Bernie Sanders has actually been in the lead, but he's expanded his lead in New Hampshire.
Both of them have double-digit leads now.
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
It's pretty remarkable.
Right. And, you know, and New Hampshire people look at Iowans with their, you know, nose down at us. And, like, we're not going to put forth the socialists probably in the Democratic caucus. Uh-huh. I don't think. I hope not. But again, I wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, Trump, I can honestly say, I don't believe Trump. He's leading the polls in Iowa, but the Iowa caucus polling is rarely reliable. People who are low, who seem to be, you know, lower in the polls always tend to perform better. Conservatives always tend to perform better. And frankly, I don't think he has the turnout apparatus that a lot of other candidates will have. And caucuses are completely different than a primary.
Well, in this particular poll, 46% would support Sanders, while only 30% would support Hillary Clinton. And that's with Joe Biden in the race.
Right.
If he's taken out of the equation, Sanders still wins by double digits.
Right.
Mrs. Clinton's in some trouble.
Right. Well, I thought, too, there was an Iowa Jew poll done by, public policy polling that did some head-to-head. And Trump up against Rubio, up against Carson, up against Bush. Well, excuse me, Rubio and Carson both beat Trump. Bush, Fiorina Trump's Bush, or not Bush, Trump in a head-to-head.
Trump's Trump.
Yeah.
That's why you were struggling.
The only candidate this head-to-head matchup they discussed that Trump beats, Jeb Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
What's that say?
Hey, what does that say about Jeb Bush?
Okay. Next item. One in two Americans see the government as a threat.
Only one in two?
Well, this is a substantial increase since 2003. The number of Americans who see the government as an immediate threat to their rights and freedom has risen over the course of the past 12 years to about half. A new poll shows. This is according to Gallup.
I guess how much, you know, to not believe this, you just have to stop reading and watching the news because you see it all the time.
49% of people surveyed said the federal government poses an immediate threat to the rights and freedoms of ordinary citizens, according to the new Gallup poll. That's up from just 30% in 2003.
Yeah. Yep.
And I guess no surprise there, but...
Right. And 2 minutes left here. We just want to wrap up talking about the Branstad administration that is under heat to defund Planned Parenthood. You know, Iowa GOP lawmakers, there's a bunch of legislators that are going to turn on the heat. Cause I was talking with State Representative Walt Rogers the other day, and he says, I think we're going to move on this. I really think we got a bill that's going to move. Again, it's probably, you know, Gronstahl is going to probably tie it up, but there are things... There's going to be pressure put to bear on Branstad. You look at we just got done talking with Governor Jindal. He, by executive order, he got their state. He canceled the contracts. He followed the rules that were involved in contracts, but he canceled Medicaid contracts. Governor Branstad can do the same. This nonsense that, oh, well, we don't pay for, you know, taxpayer money doesn't go towards abortion. It's nonsense. Any taxpayer money that goes to Planned Parenthood is fungible. They're using it to offset, you know, other things that they do. They're not entitled to any taxpayer money. And Governor Branstad should cancel the contracts, period. Especially when there's a case of Medicaid fraud that they're being investigated for.
Well, I don't care if they're buying pencils and paper. Why?
I don't want to pay for the light bulbs. I don't want to pay for the staff. I don't want to pay for anything.
Exactly.
So he needs to listen to the base. He needs to listen to the party. And the Republican Party of Iowa passed a resolution saying it needs to be
defunded. Last Tuesday night, right?
Last Saturday. And then last Tuesday night, the Polk County Republican Central Committee voted to approve a resolution. They're the eighth county to do that, county party to do that. Pressure is on. Governor Branstad, do more. Talk is cheap. We want action. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
His easygoing demeanor was so relaxing, refreshing, and romantic as a marriage partner. But as a parenting partner, not so much. Raising kids has been such a hassle with your contrasting styles. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Very few couples enter marriage thinking about their spouse as a mom or dad. Yet, that parenting stage can last 2 or 3 decades. And if there's anything you want to tackle as a team, it's parenting. However, the differences of your personalities, maybe your experiences, and even preferences can make it a battle for some sense of consistency. The Bible warns us not to provoke our children to wrath. To avoid this, it tells us to provide instruction and correction based upon biblical truths designed to draw them to Christ. To get help with your parenting plan, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range, Crossroads Shooting Sports. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The pro shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. For self-defense and personal protection for your home and family, go to crossroadsshooting.com. That's crossroadsshooting.com. Crossroadsshooting.com.
Real quickly, we wanted to talk again a little bit about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing, which is coming up. It'll be here before you know it.
Yes, it will. And I just want to, we have a new sponsor just jumped on, the Mission Cup. A good friend of mine, Jen Jones, runs that. She's for life of me, I can't think of the name of the town she lives in, but it's up in Northeast Iowa. And she's going to be coming down providing samples. I think she may even be selling some stuff too, but she's going to provide that. We provided coffee samples because, hey, the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing.
She have a website that people can go to?
Actually, she has a Facebook page.
Okay.
So just
right.
If you're on Facebook, just search for The Mission Cup. And if it comes up as a coffee shop or a coffee brewer, then that's who you're looking for. A coffee roaster, I guess that's the actual term I'm looking for. That's who you're looking for. So like her on Facebook, The Mission Cup.
Who do we have for speakers so far?
We have
confirmed
Governor Jindal. We have Rafael Cruz. We have Michael Ferris with Homeschool Legal Defense Association. We have Dr. Lee Heeb. We have Sam Clovis. We have you and I, of course. I know that's not why people come, though. So I admit that. Richard Manning with Americans for Limited Government. And Faith McDonald from the Institute of Religion and Democracy.
Already got a great slate of speakers.
Yep, and that's not a final list. We'll be adding more people to that as well. So anyway.
October 31st, mark your calendars. Be at the Ramada Inn at the corner of Merle Hay and the interstate here in Des Moines. And yes, there is a lunch provided.
Yes, register ctbriefing2015.com.
And now, we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
Okay, this is from Reuters. An Oklahoma man who had consumed large amounts of alcohol at his birthday party at a pool hall discovered when he returned home that he had been shot twice, police said on Tuesday. The man, who was not identified, was shot in the shoulder and the buttock, and the wounds were not life-threatening, Tulsa police said.
Oh, gosh.
The man and his brother called a friend to drive them home because they were drunk after celebrating his birthday at Sharky's Pool Hall on Monday, police said. They said they heard popping noises while driving. After arriving home, they noticed that there were bullet holes in the car, and the birthday boy was bleeding. It was soon discovered that the victim had a bullet hole entrance in his left rear shoulder and an exit wound in the left front shoulder, according to the Tulsa police report. The victim's brother drove him to a hospital where doctors found a second bullet lodged inside his buttock.
His buttock. which, you know, God made us, that to absorb all sorts of different things.
He rides to the hospital. He has no clue he's got a bullet in his backside. I mean, come on. This guy is so many sheets to the wind.
He has to be.
So bad
that or
in the bag.
Pain, or the pain in his shoulder is so bad that he...
Oh, he didn't know about that either. I think it's like more he saw the bullet holes in the car. Oh, look at this dude. You know, notice gosh. He's bleeding.
Crazy.
Hey, man, you're bleeding.
Yeah. Oh.
Send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. That's story@caffeinatedthoughts.com.
And we'll give you the credit or the blame.
Blame.
It'll probably be the blame.
if we use your suggestion on the show.
This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. Thanks for listening. It's Shane Van Aert
and Brian Myers telling you not to celebrate your birthday at Sharky's Pool Hall in Tulsa.
We'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.
Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Crossroads Shooting Sports. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. Go to crossroadsshooting.com for self-defense and personal protection for your home and family. That's crossroadsshooting.com.